is faithful. Amen. God is always faithful. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share, a testimony, how God has been faithful to you? Just real quick, I feel, you know what I mean? Sometimes when we hear someone else share something, it bears witness with what we're experiencing in our own life. Anybody want to share anything? Okay, you're waiting. This is going to be one where I guarantee your pages are just going to stick together. Lamentations. How many read Lamentations lately? Some of you are probably saying, that's in the Bible? It's in there, believe me. I'm not going to lie, my pages kind of stuck together there too. But it's page 723, in case you're wondering. At least in my Bible it is. Lamentations. We're talking about trusting in the faithfulness of God. I know the last time we were together, I was talking about faith, staying in faith through the storms of life. You know, and you know, I say it all the time that we're more than conquerors. You know, and just because trials come our way doesn't mean that we're not doing what God's asked us to do. Amen. And it doesn't discredit God's word. Trials doesn't mean that the word's not working. You know, in fact, I was thinking about this that you know, you hear the expression you know, they're a good soldier. You know, and I started thinking about that. And, you know, I'm a real big World War II history kind of a buff. And, you know, I think of, you know, I watch the Band of Brothers. I've read all those Ambrose books and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, what makes a good soldier? Serious. What makes a good soldier? There's no wrong answer here, guys. I'm asking you. Faithfulness is certainly one that makes a good soldier. Discipline makes a good soldier. But what about, how would you know he's a good soldier if he's never been through some battles? Right? And so when I was thinking about it, I think of all these decorated, you know, officers and soldiers and all our men and women that are overseas fighting. And when you hear the term good soldiers, you know that they've been through the stuff. And they were faithful, they were committed, and that's what makes them a good soldier. You know, they didn't quit. They didn't have that option. And even if they did have the option, they stuck it out. You know, and God says that we are in the army of the Lord. And we are soldiers in God's army. And when things get tough, we need to rely and trust in the faithfulness of our commander-in-chief, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's given us his word and to stick by and to hold on to when things are going tough. You know, and I'm going to read Lamentations to you, and then I just want to share a little bit, even, I'm not going to get into much detail, but just in my own life and things that have been, and how God has answered my prayer. You know, and it isn't something that happens overnight, and sometimes you feel like you're at the end of your rope, but yet God is faithful. So I could minister this message and talk to you tonight and encourage you, because I literally have been through it. You know, but God is faithful, and I have joy in my heart. And I've had joy in my heart all along, which is the peace of God. Amen. But Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 22. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. How many can thank God for his mercies? That his mercies, you wake up every day, and his mercies are new. You don't have to worry about running out of mercy. Because God's mercies are new every single morning. I don't know about you. I rely on the mercy of God. And God loves us, and that's why he's merciful to us. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. He's compassionate towards us. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. This is the prophet Jeremiah speaking here. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Let me tell you something. Our hope can only be in God. Because everything else is certainly subject to change. But the best news that I could ever hear and know is the fact that God will never change, man. He'll never change. You can count on God every single time. How many have ever been let down by people before? We all have. And even if they had the best intentions, they still have the ability to let you down. Even if it was for whatever reason. And it causes discouragement in our hearts and things like that. But you know what? God will never, ever, ever, ever abandon us. He'll never let us down. He never changes. He never fails. No matter what we're going through, no matter how dark it may seem, no matter how long the storm has been raging, 1 month, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, it doesn't matter. God still has his hand on your life. And your hope still needs to be in him. No matter how long it takes, no matter how long we wait, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, and it's talking about putting on the armor of God, when you've done all to stand, it says stand. And when I think about that, I think when you don't feel like standing anymore, you have to keep on standing. You have to refuse to quit, okay? And you know, I've been ministering quite a bit here lately, and a lot of the, you'd hear me allude to, you know, life happens, dude. And you know what? Life does happen. Situations happen. Things happen. And, you know, one of the greatest attacks that seemed to cause all sorts of chaos in a family and personal lives and everything else is always finances, you know? It's finances, you know, finances in the church, finances in our personal lives, and in my own life, that happened to be some things that we were going through, and you know, without getting into details, very stressful, very trying times, nothing that anybody probably might not be going through even right now in your own life, okay? But I want to tell you, through it all, through all this, and I mean, this has been well over a year that this is, you know, been going. I have been trusting God. Okay? I've been doing what I need to do. I've been practicing the word. I've been preaching the word. I've been living the word. But it doesn't mean that I haven't been tempted in my mind to take some thoughts. Okay? So thoughts may come. You see, faith and trusting in the faithfulness of God is in your heart. Okay? And it's not in your head. Okay, faith is of our heart. It is. And that's why it's important to get the word in your heart. Okay, and trusting in God's faithfulness only comes by spending time and knowing what his word says and knowing him. Because through that process, I'm not going to lie, there's been plenty of opportunities that my mind was saying this is just not going to happen. And then that still small voice inside would say, it's going to happen. And I got to be totally honest with you. Within a year and a half's time, not once, and this is the God's honest truth, not once did I ever allow my mouth to say what my mind was thinking. If it contradicted, and that's the truth, if it contradicted what God's word said, I never allowed it to come out of my mouth. I may have thought, I don't see God. I don't see how this is going to happen. But I would end it with, God, you are in control. You know what I need. You're going to be faithful. You watch over your word to perform it. I know that things are happening that I might not be aware of, and you're working on my behalf. And so this went on and on. And now, yesterday, was it yesterday? It was yesterday. Okay. Yeah. It was the day before? Yes, it was Monday. It was Monday. I'm just telling you because so that you can relate, because we are anointed to preach the word, but we have to rely to live it. We got to live it just like everybody else. So we deal with these same kind of things. Come Monday, you know, I'm looking. My back is literally against the wall, where God has to perform on my behalf. And you know, I was still trying to, you know, use wisdom, whatever resources I could try to grab a hold of in the natural. I was trying, and every one of them was just a shut door. And I'm like, God, I'm trusting you. This has got to be all you so that I could share how faithful you are. And it's nothing that I did except believe you. And you know, there's, and I'm going to go over some of these anyway here in just a moment, but I'm just trying to encourage you along these lines and share with you what happened in my own life. And if it happens for me, it can happen for you, but you got to be willing to do what I did. You know what I mean? And be willing to do the word, stay with the word and stand. And so, you know, I get this, I'm literally down to the wire on what I had to deal with. And, you know, I had tried this a year ago and it didn't work. This, just trying to, you guys are probably like, what is he talking about? I was trying to jump off the Empire State. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was nothing like that. It was nothing like that. We're talking about finances here. And it didn't work anyway. So this time around, I said, you know what? Let me try it again, see what happens. And you know, like I said, I'm down to the wire. Long story short, nothing else seemed to work. Nothing was working. And I still had to trust the Lord. I had to trust in His faithfulness. And I made a phone call, and the lady on the other end said, I have good news for you. And I was like, what? I haven't really heard good news in a while. I said, you have good news, really? She said, absolutely, you're approved for blah, blah, blah. And it was literally a miracle. It was a miracle, and it was the midnight hour of my life. It really was. It was the midnight hour, and you know what? I feel like a burden completely. I feel like a new man. I really do, and I believe that we go through those things, and not that God is bringing them on us, but we need to trust in His faithfulness while we're going through it, so we can share testimony. You know, so that we could share how faithful God is. And what this has done, as much as I've believed God and trust Him for things, this just stirred me up even more, you know, and it's that much more. And if God will do it for me, God is not a respecter of persons. You know what God is a respecter of? The person who puts His word to work. That's what God respects. That's what God respects. He's not a respecter of a person, because it doesn't matter. Who will ever dare to work the word will succeed. And that doesn't mean doing it for 2 months. It doesn't mean doing it for 6 months. It means doing it. See, people get the mentality of, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust in His faithfulness. And they approach it like it's a gamble. Let's just take a gamble. Okay? And if that's the attitude, you're not going to see the faithfulness of God, because you are not going to withstand when it seems like it's not going to happen. But a person who determines that I'm going to trust in God's faithfulness stands till they get what they're believing God for. They don't stop trusting. They don't stop believing. And in my own life, that's exactly what happened. If you have your Bible, turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. And we know this verse of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6. God is good, you know? God is good. He loves us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I think of Paul and Silas, you know, in the midnight hour. In that midnight hour, they began to, probably didn't feel like singing praises to the Lord, but in spite of their circumstances and situation, they did. They did that. And the power of God was manifested for them. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6, verse 5. Yeah, pretty much all of that. But anyway, 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means with everything. Do you know what that means when it says with all of your heart? Obviously, you can't take your heart out, but your heart is you. That's who you are. That means every fiber of your being, everything that makes you needs to begin to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Lean not. In other words, don't give any credence to what your understanding may try to give as input into your life. Disregard it completely. Don't lean on it, because it's going to be a natural way of thinking, and God's ways are different than our ways. You know, God gives us wisdom. You know, if there's anything that you want to pray when you're going through things, for the wisdom of God. Because God will give you the wisdom how to handle situations and how to do things. Psalms chapter 5 and verse 12 says, and I prayed this all through this. I said, God, whoever has to deal with anything that pertains to me, I thank you that you are getting the right person who's going to just go out of their way to be favorable to me. They may not even understand why they're doing it. And we can say that as believers, as God's children, because Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12 says that he surrounds the righteous with favor as a shield. Completely shielded in favor if you're righteous. How many are righteous in here? We're righteous because we have God living on the inside of us. Amen? And we follow after him. But so God will do things. You know, God's not going to come down and rain $1 million out of the sky for me. But you know what? God uses people. You know, whatever it is that you're going through, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whatever it might be, God uses people to be able to meet the needs that we might have. And when we pray for favor and expect God's favor to work on our behalf, God will line up. We don't have to worry how. We don't have to think about. I could never have imagined how any of this was going to work out. It was way beyond me. And God wants it to be that way so that we'll trust him. But he'll send the right person to handle your situation. And you know what? They might look at whatever it is you've submitted, and for some reason they just want to do whatever they can to help you. That's just not coincidence. That's God moving people where they need to be and on our behalf. Do you believe that? I believe it so wholeheartedly, you couldn't convince me otherwise. Because God's word works. It always works. If we'll stand and stand and stand. But if we're going to give in and not trust in his faithfulness when things get a little tough, then we're never, it isn't that God is not wanting to bless us and help us. We disengage, you know, and we have to stay engaged in this thing. But it says, we're up here. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround them as with a shield. But Proverbs chapter 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Okay, that's verse 5. Verse 6 says, acknowledge him. What does that mean to acknowledge him? Absolutely. Put God first. Acknowledge him. Wake up in the morning and acknowledge God. How do we acknowledge God? Father, I thank you that this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it today. I thank you that I'm able to walk, God. I thank you that I have that breath in my lungs. That's acknowledging God. Acknowledge him in all our ways. In all our ways. And he shall make your path and direct your path. He'll make your path straight. And there's a lot that goes into that. It's just such a simple thing for us to do. And it is a simple thing. But we need to be spending time with him. The only way you're going to get up in the morning and acknowledge him is if you spend time with him. If you don't spend time with him, that's not going to be the first thing that pops into your mind. But when we begin to make a habit of opening the Bible and putting everything else aside and spending our time and acknowledging God, then you develop that relationship with him. God speaks to you. And you know what? He makes your path straight. In the midst of the craziest storms of your life, you can have peace in that. You can have peace in that because knowing that God is faithful. We've seen Paul and Silas in prison. What about Daniel chapter 3? Do we know what happened in Daniel chapter 3? The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? Guys that were put to the test. They were put to the fire, literally put to the fire. And you know, I read this, and it's unbelievable. If we could just have a fraction of the commitment that those guys had, and how they knew God, and not bow down when the alternative is going into a fiery furnace. They knew God. They knew the faithfulness of God. They absolutely... Now, how do you think they got to know that? You think just by going to church once a week? I don't. I mean, although that's a good thing, but they acknowledged God every single day, and God directed their paths. And you know what? When God directs your path, here's another thing that we should get squared away right away, is that when God, just because God is directing your path doesn't mean that there's going to be challenges. That there won't be any challenges in your life. Some people think right away, oh, well, God must not be directing my path because I feel like I'm getting beat up. Well, we're good soldiers. Good soldiers get beat up. But they keep on going because their training enables them to get through it. And they have faith in their commander-in-chief. So God directing, listen, God directs my path. But you know what? Sometimes that path takes you through some, you know, this isn't just some fantasy like we just, like Cinderella story. This is life. Life happens. We live in this world, you know, and there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy us. But, so that's why the Bible also says, don't think it's strange of these trials that come upon you. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. So greater is he that's in you than any financial lack that you may be having. Greater is he that is in you than any sickness that could ever try to come upon your body, ever. Greater is he that is in you than any kind of tormenting thoughts that attack your mind. God is greater than all those things. And we walk in victory when we spend time with him in his word. That's how we receive what God has promised for us. So we have to have the attitude that, you know what, we're not going to quit. God, I will acknowledge you in all my ways, and I believe that you will make my path straight. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get put to the fire. We know the story. They were told, listen, and you know what, King Nebuchadnezzar liked them. He liked those guys, you know, because they were an asset to him. And he thought, surely you guys aren't going to choose the alternative. When they blow that trumpet, just bow down. It's not a big deal, right? Is it a big deal? It's a huge deal when we bow down. It's a huge deal. You know why it's a huge deal? It isn't even so much that it knocks God off his throne, because it doesn't. But you know what it does do? It opens up the door for the enemy to locate you. You know, and we don't want to be on his radar. He's searching as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you know what? We're undercover agents, you know, and we're following God's plan for our life. And God, when the storms blow, he'll show us through his word and through wisdom and fellowship which way to go. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with that decision. You know, there's millions of people bowing down. They'll never know if we do. You know, God, I'm sure, will understand. I mean, obviously, he wants us around to be a witness. We even come up with something like that. You know, if we're dead, then we can't witness to anybody. You know, nobody will. And so, you know what? What did they do? They said, we are not going to compromise. We are not going to bow to that idol. We're not going to allow sin and the little things knock us off course. Because those little things turn into big things. And it pushes us off course. So when the trumpet blew, they didn't bow down. Nebuchadnezzar got mad because his pride. What do you mean you're not going to bow down? There's nobody mightier than me. There certainly is, and they knew who was mightier. And they said, King Nebuchadnezzar, with all due respect, we are not going to bow down to you or any other image for that matter. We serve the Lord God Almighty, and that is it. And if you need to throw us into the furnace, our God will deliver us. Then so be it. And you know what? Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, we'll see about that. Heated it up 7 times hotter, threw them in, bound them up, threw them in. You talk about the midnight, the darkest time of your life. I picture Abraham and Isaac. I mean, Abraham, pastor talked about it on Sunday, you know, with his arm raised up, ready to sacrifice his son. But all along, Abraham knew the faithfulness of God, too. God will provide. That's what he told his son. And his son's probably thinking, now would be a good time to provide, you know, as the knife is ready to come plunging into him. And sure enough, God provided. But here's another interesting thing. If Abraham didn't know God, he wouldn't have recognized his voice. But God spoke to him, Abraham, no. And he stopped because he heard God. And you know what? Coincidence? No. A ram appears in a thicket. And there was the sacrifice. So What I'm saying to you tonight, and I just, you know, it's I'm basically exhorting you because I just experienced some incredible thing in my own life. And you know what? That doesn't mean that it's going to be easy street. And I don't set myself up for, oh, my God, it's going to. But I'm realistic, man. Life happens. But you know what? If God got me through this because I stayed faithful and committed to his word, he'll get me through anything. And you know what? He'll get you through anything if you'll do what it takes to stay with him, you know. So they get thrown into the furnace. He says, okay, you want to play games? Throw them into the furnace. His one guard ends up getting killed. It was so, I know hot fire. I've been in it. And I couldn't imagine being thrown into a furnace, okay? And they get thrown in, and Nebuchadnezzar's looking through the hole, and he's like, hang on a minute, time out. He said, didn't we throw three guys in there? He said, yeah, we threw three. And he says, well, I see four of them, and they're walking around. They're loose. They're walking around. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. And so that is encouragement. If you're going through the fire, God not only, he doesn't stand on the outside, he gets right in there with you. He gets right in there with you. He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't just send you a text. You can do it, buddy. Just hang in there. No, he's there with you. He wraps his arm around you, and he will carry you the distance if you're willing to go with him. And you know what? What an incredible testimony. A miracle. God will do that for you. God did it for me, and he'll do it again for me, and he'll do it for you. It just like he did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went into the fire with them. And it said that they came out, not a mark on them. Their clothes didn't even smell like fire. I've been in fires. You can ask my mom and dad. You can ask my wife. I could shower for 3 days. And every time I take a shower, I still smell like smoke. It's the hardest thing to get off of you, you know? Just hang around a campfire. you know what you smell like after a bonfire, you know? They didn't even smell like smoke because God is faithful. God is faithful. Things may get tough. Things may get tough, and there's no question about that things do get tough. But you know what? We need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust him. We need to trust in his faithfulness. We need to not have our heart be troubled. John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe in me also. God is faithful to watch over his word, to perform it in our lives. Are we faithful to stay with it and to hold fast to our confession of faith? The Bible says to hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at that real quick. Romans chapter 8. You guys getting anything tonight? Romans chapter 8. And this is key. You may think thoughts, but just because you think it doesn't mean you're not in faith. Don't start speaking what you're thinking. Okay? Start speaking the word. Listen, it's not hocus pocus, but you can stand up here and who's that motivational speaker? Tony Robbins. All these motivational kind of guys will tell you it's what you say. It's what you say. You think God didn't know that? God knew that. Our words contain life. They contain power. And you know what? What you hear yourself saying is what, that's the mental picture that you get inside your head. And when you get that mental picture inside your head, that's what eventually you do. So if you're tempted to doubt, that's fine. Don't speak those things out of your mouth. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Mark 11, 23 and 24, it says, it talks more about not believing so much, but about speaking. Saying, say unto this mountain. You need to hear yourself speaking to the situations that you have in your life. Because when you hear yourself doing that, it stirs up faith in your heart. It stirs up faith in your heart. And that's what enables you to stand. That's the full armor of God, putting it on. Putting it on and standing firm. Romans chapter 8, and Verse, you know what? It's so I can read this whole thing. But anyway, we'll start in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose? Do you love God tonight? Then all things, say all things. What does all things mean? Everything, right? All things work together for your good. They work together for your good. No matter what it appears, it will work together for your good. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, say that. If God is for me, if God is for me, who can be against me? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely meet your financial lack? Heal your body. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. All these things, nothing shall. All these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from his faithfulness. The only thing that could separate you from God's faithfulness is you. And you know what it is? Your lack of faith.